Okay, this next one's kind of a toughie in that it deals with the assassination of President John Kennedy. I know it's extremely tough on you, Rick. I'm sorry. It's tough on all of us. However, since confirmations are the order of the day in these films, we should probably get on with taking a look at this, especially since it just won't go away. Since this particular Express, Phoenix Journal Express, you remember this? I have August 1990, Volume 3, Number 10, in which Commander goes into some great detail about the device which was implanted in the car, which I'll read to you here, which actually took President Kennedy's the side of his head off. Since these expresses were written, I might point out that we've seen a full-length full-length motion picture on the subject. We've seen a number of television documentaries. We've seen all the past presidents line up in support of the Warren Commission and the one bullet theory. And also we have Walter Cronkite in on the action. Now, the film we're going to be looking at, I've taped right off the air. It was broadcast on Nova, narrated by Walter Cronkite. So we're not seeing anything that nobody else has seen before. It shows us specifically and plainly. Not so specifically, because it is hidden, because we are defocused from the point in view here. But we're going to slow that film down and look at it critically, and we'll arrive at some conclusions together, and I think you will then be able to see specifically what happened. I'm going to read to you now what Commander wrote. What were you looking at on film? The weapon in immediate point was essentially similar to an extremely sawed-off shotgun. The blast was produced by what would be known as a shaped charge in a special mounting. A shaped charge is a specially configured explosive device which essentially produces a focused explosion. That is, an explosion that mostly aims in one direction instead of going in all directions like a stick of dynamite. A shaped charge is what enables, for instance, a bazooka to blast a Sherman tank out of action, and shaped charges come in all varied sizes, including some small enough to be hidden easily in an automobile along with the firing instrument. Okay, let's go to the tape now and get started here, and we'll see together exactly what we were looking at.
Relying mainly on analysis of physical evidence, Nova has explained many, but not all, questions about the assassination. The single bullet theory remains intact, despite its implausible aspects. There's no irrefutable photographic or acoustic evidence of a second gunman. The president's body was so badly handled, it probably could never be a source of verifiable evidence.
We'll continue on now with Walter Cronkite narrating the film and see how just see how cleverly our minds and eyes are led away from the truth.
Was an assassin. This is the view he would have had. Model shows that his view of the limousine would have been partially blocked by a retaining wall on the knoll. Kennedy appears here. A gunman could have aimed and fired. The location of the limousine in the model corresponds with frame 313 of the Zapruder film. In the Zapruder film, it can be seen that Connolly is turning, perhaps in reaction to hearing the first shot. Then both he and Kennedy are hidden behind the sign when they presumably were both wounded by the second shot. Kennedy is struck in the head and killed at this moment. Frame 313. The model does not prove someone struck the president from the knoll. It does show that it was possible. The violent motion of Kennedy's head to the left and backwards is another reason many people believe the shot came from the grassy knoll. It seemed to be a logical conclusion.
In the Zapruder film, let's go back and slow this thing down and look at it. There's quite a bit to look at now. And I've got control of the machine, and we're just kind of looking frame by frame to see what we can see. As we move along forward here, the first thing that we're going to run into coming up here, and I'll show it to you. You saw it, but you didn't think too much about it, was a splice. This is a splice in the film where they have taken the film apart, beveled the edges, and glued the film back together. There doesn't seem to be much missing out of the film. In that I don't see a whole frame missing, but it could be. Okay, since this is a one continual run of film, we can see right away that the film has been tampered with. As we continue the limousine on up behind this sign, I'm going to go a little on forward here. Now, as the limousine disappears behind this sign, and as we go forward, frame by frame, now, here's another real good splice. Now, there's something unusual about this splice. Here's a splice in the film, and here's a video edit splice. One entire frame. And here we come out the other side. Let's go back and look at that. A splice in the 8mm film itself. You can see where the film is overlapped in the glue down at the bottom kind of distorts the color on the film, the emulsion. And here we have one blank frame, two fields. Now that's my machine acting up. Two fields that we see. Okay. Now as the limo rolls forward, we are stopped at frame 313. Now, this is interesting. As we can see here in frame 313, an explosion has occurred just out of thin air. Now, as we move the video forward, they come up and match up frame 313 with their computer animation. And then in a second here, release it. Now, I've stopped it. I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back up. We've come forward about three frames. I'm going to go back to frame 313. Now, we've stopped on 313. I'm going to advance the videotape one frame to 314. Now, if we look carefully, we can see what we're looking for. I'm going to show you. Okay, let's... See that little bright mark right there? Okay, now let me back up the film. I'm going to go backwards now. Gone. I'll expand the circle so you can see inside of it. We go forward, it's there. We continue to go forward into the next frame, it's gone. Backing up, there it is. And there's the major explosion that hit President Kennedy in the face. There's the force of the explosion, and there's the afterfire right there, coming out of this shaped charge. Continuing on, next frame, it's gone. Now, something else kind of funny occurs. Let me back this film up. Well, we'll go to another section of the film. I want you to look at the driver, and also we can see this close up. Here's frame 313 where they stopped us. Here's the next one where we can see it. See this little red plume? It's gone in the next frame. Okay. Now we'll also notice that when the shots were coming from the outside, Jackie was protecting the president. She was in the car, hovering over, trying to protect. As soon as this thing goes off from inside the car, she's no longer interested in staying in the car. She appears to want to get out of it. Now also, in the front seat, let me back this up a little bit. The seat right in front of the president, Governor Connally, we're moving forward now. Governor Connally all of a sudden goes forward. He evidently felt this the explosion in the back of the seat. Now, in looking at this other little short segment, this short segment is also off the same film that we were looking at. This is a close-up, and this was done by the network or the producer. And what strikes me as a little odd is this black line across here. We would think that would be the frame line. It appears to be some type of a mirror image, and I can't quite make it out. It dances up and down a little bit. If it were the frame line, this area down here, though, would be the top of the next frame, which would be basically the green grass or whatever was up there. So I don't know quite what to make of the frame line, but anyway, in this close-up view, we'll let this go forward and take a closer look at the charge and the follow-up fire. As we progress forward now, we will come into right there, frame what Cronkite refers to as 313 on the Magruder film, Zapruder film, excuse me, in this particular documentary. We will advance one frame more. Here's the focus charge. It just looks like it's a charge that just exploded right there. And here's the next frame forward. Okay? Now, can you see it? Doesn't that look like a fire coming from out of something, embedded somewhere? Okay, now we're going to go one frame on beyond that and see that it disappears. Again, one frame back, two frames back, three frames back. Now, each frame on this particular camera apparently was 1/15. Let's see, there's 15 frames in 1 second. Or 16 frames in 1 second. The way it was transferred, maybe a few more, but that's irrelevant at this point. Here we are at frame 312, 313, 314, and 315. Backwards and forwards. There we go. See it? Backwards. Stopping. Forwards. Stopping. Backwards. Stopping. Forward. And back it up. There we are. Well, that comes as close to the smoking gun as anything I can imagine. Okay, well, let's let this go on forward. We'll notice that Governor Connally moves forward in his seat. And Jackie's thinking, boy, that came from inside the car. I think I'll leave now. So Jackie makes an attempt to exit the limousine right out the back. And we'll note that the limousine didn't speed up. We'll look at that in just a minute. Fact is, it was going so slow. Let's back up to that length of film. To the preceding bit of film here. Now, when this film kicks off, look at here. The limo didn't speed up. It was going so slow that a secret agent or whatever could catch up to the back of it and jump on the deck of the limo itself. Okay, this is irrelevant. We'll also note that the driver of the limo, back it up, is looking directly at the action. He slows down, turns around, looks behind him, the explosion occurs. Now we'll move the frame, the film forward, just as soon as the explosion occurs. He turns himself around, ducks down, and the limo proceeds forward. At another clip of film, this is before the third and final blast. We can see the driver of the limo looking back now. He's already been shot two times, and the limo's still just creeping along. I'll let this progress forward station. It's, okay, hold it right there. Now, the limo driver, let me back this up. That's covered over with the logo a little bit. The limo driver, let's get past him, looking at the action, turns and looks forward, not going any faster. Now, actually, you can see his face right there. He turns and looks back. The shots ring out. And he and his driver up there both duck their heads down and just nonchalantly drive away. Once again, so slow that the Secret Service man in the back can crawl up on the back of the limousine as Jackie tries to get out of it. And these fellas, I believe, are supposed to, in the case of an emergency, step on it immediately. This didn't happen. We can see this. Something else of interest here that is brought out. Let's drop my paper. Hold on a second. I just wanted to point out the driver of the car was Roscoe White, and he died several years later from burns, quote-unquote, suffered in a fire of questionable origin. I just wanted to say that. We won't go into any other of the ramifications of this, since the purpose of this little film is just show and tell on that one specific point about the device being mounted in the car. Okay, one more look now at the smoking gun as we progress forward. And come up to frame 313, progress to frame 314. Right there it is. 315, gone. Back up a few. Go forward a few. There it is. Back up a few. There it was. Go forward a few. You can see it. Backing up now. Going forward. Okie doke. That's my report on that little piece of film. And it's been fun, and we'll do this again real soon. Don't touch that dial. I got one more item for you. Just a few minutes ago, we heard from Brent and Teresa, and I mentioned to Brent that about 30 minutes ago, we had an overflight of some pretty big helicopters, and I managed to get some film of it. So he said, stick it on the film. So I stuck it on the film, and here it is. We'll show you. Southeast, heading toward the northwest, and made four or five circles. Not specifically around my house, but I was on the periphery of the circle. Now, we had a small airport in Chesapeake, Ohio, over on the river. I thought there might have been a fly-in or an air show today.
Maybe there's an air show or something I don't know about. I don't know. They do seem to be flying over the airport over there.
Now, they were lined up 1, 2, 3, 4, flying right basically over the river.
Hey, here they come again. I think this particular thing has something to do with the airport.
As we can see, there are three different types of helicopters here. And I'm I'm not real familiar with military helicopters, but I know that the first two are the big troop transports. Now this one's painted like the presidential helicopter. And we'll see more of a side view of it in a moment. And this is one of those heavy jobs that they use to pull the astronauts up out of the sea in the early days. And I'm just trying to, I forgot to turn my camera off here. There we go. Looks like a Marine helicopter. Now he's going lower than all the rest. I don't know. I didn't see anything fall out or drop out of the airplane.
Here they come again.
Okay, maybe you all can see something here. I didn't, but anyway.
Two seem to have disappeared. Maybe. Okay, here he comes. The two big ones seem to have landed.
That one has an American flag on the side of it. Now, he did go low, folks. I don't know. It's quite possible he went low over the river, is what I was going to say there. Small non-controlled field right across the river. Over in West Virginia is Huntington Tri-State. It's an air carrier airport. I believe it also has some National Guard. So I just packed my little camera down on my side and went on in. How you doing?
Hey, all right, how are you?
What are those helos doing? I thought they were coming over here for something.
No, they were just buzzing around for a few minutes and then left. I don't know what they were doing.
Which way did they go? I didn't even see them leave.
I don't either. I think they may have been going to Tri-State. I heard them talking to Tri-State on the radio here. I don't know if they ended up landing over there or not.
Oh, really?
The last time I saw them, they climbed up and disappeared in the clouds.
There's nothing going on over Tri-State today, is there?
I don't know.
Just curious. Flew over my house about 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. They circled over here quite a while.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be darned. Tri-State was talking to them?
Uh-huh.
Or were they just getting weather or what?
I don't know what they were doing. They were just... I just heard him say they were going to climb up to 3,500 or something like that, and that's the last time I heard of it. I just turned the radio off, but they never talked to us one bit, so.
Did they fly over your airport?
Yeah, they flew right over top of us.
And they never called you?
No. Ceilings were so low, it was 500 overcast.
Yeah, I know, they were pretty low.
So they, the clouds were, so there wasn't going to be anybody flying here anyway.
Yeah.
So, Huntington had one radar, I guess, so.
Okay, just curious.
Okay, once again, they didn't land here. The airport manager heard them talking to Tri-State, and they just climbed out up into the clouds and disappeared after making about 4 circles over southwest Huntington. But we did see the American flag painted on one of them, but there are 3 different types. Okay, here we go. Going back home. Okay, and this was Sunday, September the 8th. And I just chose to freeze frame that conversation with that young man. Okay, that's it. That's my report for today. And one other thing. Our neighbor has a scanner and called the police, or heard the police talking on the scanner. And the police thought that there were 8 of them. I only saw 4, but they didn't know anything about it either. So, that's all there is to that. And we'll talk to y'all soon. We love y'all. Take care.
So I was asked to comment on this, and the only thing that I could comment right now is I'd have to get up here much closer and take a look at it and really examine it. It's pretty difficult to, from what I saw there, to make a determination. But it's my thought that at the time that Jackie was, she wasn't trying to climb out of that vehicle. It blew his head up, and it blew she seen a piece of his head back on the truck, and that'd be one heck of a way for a woman to try to get out of a moving vehicle, even if it was going slow. But she made the comment right that time, was heard by several people, "My God, I've got part of his brain in my hand." And I believe that that's what was taking place there. But so far as that light was concerned, it's very interesting, no question about it, but...
Could that have been a piece of brain blown?
Well, it could have... The bright sunlight, see, it was that time of day, it could have been a wristwatch, a ring, or... I mean, I didn't get a close enough look to see, but I can't, I'm having difficulty trying to figure out what kind of an explosion they could set up that would aim for his head. How'd they know where it was going to go?
Yeah, aim it for his head, and then the explosion hits his head before you see the flash from the explosion.
Yeah. No, but I mean, how do you set up something like that with plastic? He says plastic explosive.
They had it in the back of the seat.
Huh?
They had it in the back of the seat.
Well, what was the light in front of him then?
That was it.
They gave it the works from both sides.
You mean there was more than one explosion?
Kind of no, looked like it was coming one. From the side of the car.
But I think it was coming from between those 2 seats.
Don't straight charges have an exhaust flare between them?
Yeah, but how do you aim it?
It could have a
remote.
Yeah,
I don't know where he was right there.
Could have hit Jackie, could have hit anybody. I mean, if he'd have turned around or just lifted over a little bit or something, it would have missed him.
It wasn't exactly where he was supposed to be.
Yeah.